SFMSports.net. On air, online, mobile, on demand.
Is there any way you can send this thing into overtime?
Yeah.
No problem.
I don't know what he was looking at, but we're going into overtime.
Welcome in. It is Overtime Live at 9:32. The OTL 94.3 Wings FM, SFMSports.net. Overtime Live presented by the Preston Automotive Group at Best Western Plus, Easton Inn and Suites. Queenstown Bank sponsored our halftime show. Coming to you live from the Edge Training Academy studios. Brent Moy, Therapy Associates, giving us our scoreboard, providing physical therapy and sports care in the AAMC building on Kent Island. All right, just wrapping up our Overtime Live Friday Night Lights game of the week. Kent Island falling to Fort Hill by a score of 38-13. But let's take you to Centerville right now in overtime. Queen Anne's trailing Kent County 21-15. Marquand Green's one-yard touchdown run gave Kent the six-point lead. Kent Island blocked the point after attempt, which is huge. We saw that in the North Carolina Easton game, although we still don't have a final in that game yet. It's a 10-point game, but we pointed out there were 6 points that North Carolina did not get due to either a failed two-point conversion, extra kick being blocked, or missed. We'll see what the final score is, but that could end up being the difference of the game, the way that game's been going back and forth. But this Kent County Queen Anne's game played in Centerville. Now, Kent County, they shut out Parkside last week 7-0, and Parkside's got a pretty good offense. More of a running offense, but they can throw the ball. They do have some weapons like Juwan Williams to throw to. But you look at Queen Anne's and you feel like they're a little bit more solid of a team. However, you do have a young offensive line there, 3 sophomores on the offensive line. Maybe even in coming into week number 7, they're not quite where they need to be. Or is that Kent County defense that good? Have they really turned the page after last week's shutout of Parkside? Maybe that was the case. I certainly didn't expect it to be nothing to nothing at halftime. And right now, 21-15 Kent County leads. So all the scoring coming in the second half and now into overtime. But I have to admit, I'm a little shocked by that score. And I know in our What We Learned segment last week, there were some games that were surprising. You didn't expect necessarily to happen. You didn't expect Wicomico necessarily to beat Easton. Not that they didn't have the talent, but you wondered about their discipline. But it was Easton that allowed Wicomico to take advantage of some mistakes, and Wicomico made fewer mistakes and won that game. I wouldn't have necessarily thought that, although Easton had won some very close games the week before, so maybe they were due. Maybe things caught up with them. Well, they obviously did. But you looked at a few other games, and you scratched your head a little bit, like, what happened there? You know, Stephen Decatur, North Carolina, you expected that to be a close game. Some were picking the upset. Now, I thought Decatur would blow their chance against Easton, but that wasn't the case as they ended up winning at North Carolina on homecoming. How about that? And then Kent County wouldn't have expected the score to be 7-0. I actually picked Parkside in that game. Not surprised that Kent County played them well necessarily, but I didn't expect Kent County to be shut out. I didn't expect the lone score to be on an interception return. How about that? And there was an interception return in this game. Bradley Harmon threw a pick six. So, one of those touchdowns on the board for Kent County is off of the Queen Anne's offense. All right, let's go down the Brett Moy Therapy Associates scoreboard as we await final scores in Centerville and in Easton as well. I've not seen a final in Eastern North Carolina. That game should be about over, though, unless I missed it. I don't believe I did. I've been following our news feed pretty well here. But as I just mentioned, our Overtime Live Friday Night Lights game of the week, Kent Island getting their first loss of the season, falling to a very good Fort Hill team by a score of 38-13. Cambridge South Dorchester, they trailed 7-0 early in this game. J.M. Bennett scoring on a halfback pass, but after that, it was all Cambridge. They end up winning 49-20. Colonel Richardson playing on the Eastern Shore of Virginia against Nandua. They fall 46-26. Not much of a game there. 3 games last night, the Bayside South. Well, I still call it the Bayside South. Wicomico, how about that? Keeping their playoff hopes alive and winning their second straight. And even though that was a 1-5 Decatur team, that was still a very solid team that they beat on the road, and they did so 40-12. Parkside, no surprise, after a lot of close losses, they took out their frustration on Snow Hill, winning 51-6. And Washington playing a very weak Arcadia of Virginia from the Eastern Shore of Virginia. Washington, after being held scoreless in the first half, and it was a nothing-nothing game for both sides, they ended up winning 19-7 in that one. So we had three games on Thursday night that are already out of the way. No Saturday games this week to contend with. So that's the scoreboard update right now. And as we take a look at the news feed, I'm just waiting for a final here. I'm kind of on the edge of my seat with this Queen Anne's Kid County game. And folks, I got to tell you, last week was my roughest week picking games. I was 3-4. That's the worst week I've had since I started picking games about 3 or 4 years ago. I know David Inslee has done a great job, and he's been picking the games a lot longer than I have. By the way, Danny Lockhart, my other producer here, I produced the game, but Danny's done a great job. Danny, I appreciate it. He's helped with the halftime report and provided a weather report for us, so keep up the good work. We appreciate it. He gives us our highlights during the halftime show, so would not be a complete show without him. Danny, appreciate it, buddy, and safe travels. We'll catch you next week. But I tell you what, the last week was a tough week, and Wicomico had to prove to me that they could win against a quality team. They did so against Easton. I thought Parkside would get over the hump against Kent County. They didn't. They lost another close one. Kent County, not that it was necessarily surprising, but they get back to 500, maybe in the game that saved their season last week, for all intents and purposes. And then if they win this game, that's huge. That's huge. If they're able to do that and get some 2A points and beat a very good team on the road, it is not easy to go to Centerville and get the job done. So we will find out as we run down the list here. You know, Kent Island, though, in our Overtime Live Friday Night Lights game of the week, you give them all the credit in the world for going out three-plus hours to Cumberland. And, folks, let me tell you, if you went out to the Middletown game last year, which is right outside of Frederick, the playoff game against Middletown, that was a pretty neat environment. But I'm going to guess, based on what I've seen online and what I've heard, and we'll talk with head coach Brian Sofanowski coming up, that Fort Hill experience is seemingly more like a college experience than a really great high school experience. And I think Kent Island got a taste of that today. Wow, here we go. This is final. Tommy Jones stopped short of the goal line. Kent County beats Queen Anne's 21-15, so Queen Anne's never got into the end zone. In overtime, Kent County with the win, 21-15. We'll talk to both coaches coming up, but how about that? Wow. Wow. Whew. Now, you take a look at that on the outside and say, what a job by the Kent County defense. That six of those points that they have off of a pick six, not offensively. That is a huge win. And for a Kent County team that some might have counted down and out after a 1-3 start, they're now back at 4-3. Wow. Is that the upset of the year? That's what Scott Abraham just tweeted. Could be the case. I'm not going to go that far. You know, you've got to give a little bit more credit to Kent County, but that is a big step for the program in going on the road and beating Queen Anne's like that. Now, is that the same Queen Anne's team? You kind of thought it might be based on the way they played. They're only lost to a very good Archmere Academy team out of Wilmington. But wow, Tommy Jones stopped 1 yard short on the fourth and goal. So Kent County wins in Centerville. Not often that you say that. And now Queen Anne's with two losses, but their first conference loss of the season, although that's not a 3A, 2A loss because they lost to a 1A team. But now, back-to-back weeks, Kent County getting 2A wins or getting points against 2A teams. Nice job. Wow. Well, that's some action. We've had a crazy week seven in that back-and-forth scoring, and we do have a final now. It was Easton over North Carolina by a score of 56-46, and I thought that if it got into a shootout, and I wrote this in my pick section at overtimelive.net, I did say that if this game got into a shootout, I thought that Easton had a little bit more firepower, i.e. the passing game in addition to the running game than North Carolina. And I think that's kind of how it bore out to be. Easton taking advantage as well of a weak North Carolina secondary, who you give credit to last week. North Carolina secondary last week contained Stephen Decatur's passing game. And if you remember 2 weeks ago, Stephen Decatur threw four touchdown passes in the first half against Easton. And you thought that last week that North Carolina would be susceptible to that. And that wasn't the case. They didn't give up a big play in the air. They gave up the big play on the ground to quarterback Justin Meekins. And it seems like this year, this is becoming more of a week-to-week league this season. In years past, it was a lot easier to pick some of these games, and you had a pretty good idea. That's why the pick records that I have and David Inslee have are kind of ridiculous when it comes to the winning percentages. But this year has become more of a week-to-week league than before. So this is good stuff. This is probably the most exciting week to me in the Bayside Conference. Although last week was pretty darn good too, but this week was just as good. So there you have it. So let's run back down the scoreboard. Finals just coming through. Kent County in overtime beats Queen Anne's 21-15. Tommy Jones stopped short at the goal line from scoring and then giving a chance to tie things up there and kick an extra point or go for two. You would kick the extra point and try to win it that way. It was Easton over North Carolina 56-46, a game in which 102 points were scored. I wonder if that's some sort of record. I'm sure David Inslee will be opining about that at some point, probably next week in his From the Bleacher segment that he does. But here are the finals. Fort Hill gives Kent Island their first loss of the season, 38-13. It was Cambridge over J.M. Bennett, 49-20. Colonel Richardson falls to Nandua of Virginia, 46-26. It was Wicomico over Stephen Decatur last night, 40-12. Parkside over Snow Hill, 51-6. Washington over Arcadia, Virginia, 19-7. But again, finals just coming in. Easton over North Carolina, 56-46. And Kent County over Queen Anne's, 21-15. It is Overtime Live, presented by the Preston Automotive Group at Best Western Plus, Easton Inn and Suites, coming to you from the Edge Trading Academy Studios. Mike Bradley with you, week number 7. Brett Moy Therapy Associates sponsoring our scoreboard updates. And don't forget, we're coming to you streaming worldwide and also via the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone or your tablet at sfmsports.net. That's sfmsports.net. We want to thank Steve for providing us expanded coverage outside of just a radio signal here at 94.3 Winx FM. And don't forget, Paula's Fine Jewelry is back to reward one lucky coach from the North Bayside. Each coach that participates this year will be entered into a drawing to become the Overtime Live Coach of the Year. The winner receives a $500 gift certificate to Paula's Fine Jewelry in Chester. I'm going to hold off a few minutes on trying to get the coaches from Easton and North Carolina and Kent and Queen Anne's, simply because those games just got over with. I'm sure those coaches are talking with their team. We will try and touch base with Brian Sofinowski, Kent Island head coach out in Western Maryland and Cumberland, and see if we can't touch base with him and talk to him about tonight's game against Fort Hill. We'll take definitely a lot of trips around the Bayside to talk with the coaches, but a very interesting week once again in the Bayside, and it's all over with now. Coming upon 9:45, it is the OTL, 94.3 Winx FM at sfmsports.net.
When it came to imagination and ingenuity, Ben Franklin more than fit the bill. That's why Ben Franklin Crafts Easton fits the bill for all your craft and custom framing needs. We've got everything you need to design, create, and embellish. All you need to do is provide imagination.
Are you ready for some football?
Stop in and see our expanded Ravens and Redskins department. Flags, signs, power decals, and more. Great for that diehard NFL fan. Don't forget, fall and Halloween are in full swing. Check out our largest selection of Halloween decor ever. Daily specials on Facebook, Twitter, and Foursquare. Ben Franklin Crafts Easton, located in the Easton Plaza.
Now get even more Bayside Conference football from sfmsports.net. Every week during the high school football season, Mike Bradley breaks down the action in the Bayside Conference and previews the upcoming week. with the Bayside Power Pole fed by McDonald's.
And coming in at number one, Ken Island, the lone remaining undefeated team of the Bayside, the Buccaneers.
Get Mike's audio Power Pole every week by following SFM Sportsnet on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and visit sfmsports.net.
And in a stunning turn of events, McDonald's Chicken McNuggets and Fries have turned this tailgating party around.
Most definitely. The juiciness of McNuggets combined with the hottest fries in the game, that's a tasty play that's always going to dominate.
Fellas, come on. Enough with the play-by-play. The game start.
Tailgate McDonald's style with 20-piece Chicken McNuggets for only $5. Then team them up with our world-famous fries to go all the way.
And the McNuggets up. And it's good.
There's more fun ways to tailgate at McDonald's. Proud sponsor of the NFL. Prices and participation may vary.
Queenstown Bank is proud to sponsor the Overtime Live Halftime Show. We believe that teamwork, along with social and leadership skills, are what our youth needs in order to succeed. By supporting our youth in every way, from the sports they play to their academics, to ensuring they understand the importance of financial literacy, we are building leaders within our community. For more information on Queenstown Bank's new financial education program, Bank on Your Future, contact Holly Rhodes at 410-819-3089. Our children are our future. Queenstown Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Chesapeake Bay Orthopedics offers a full range of diagnostic and surgical services that include orthopedic, joint replacement, spine, hand, foot, and ankle surgery, sports, and physical medicine. So whether you're a student athlete, a weekend warrior, or a homemaker, Chesapeake Bay Orthopedics has the solution to your ailments. Chesapeake Bay Orthopedics has locations in Easton, Cambridge, Salisbury, and Kent Island. Let Dr. Michael Ward and Dr. Dave Eakin get you back on track. Call their friendly staff at 410-770-9875 to schedule your appointment. That's Chesapeake Bay Orthopedics, proud supporters of Bayside Athletics.
Oh, the aroma of that fresh homemade bread and sauce. That's what you get when you make a trip to Roberto's Pizza and Italian Restaurant, Marlboro Road in Easton. If you want real homemade pizza, subs, and Italian dishes, then you want Roberto's. Roberto uses only the best cheese, meat, and flour, and the results are incredible. For a mouth-watering meal, stop by and check out Roberto's Pizza and Italian Restaurant's new lunch and dinner specials. For dining in or carrying out, make it Roberto's Pizza and Italian Restaurant. It's not too late to call Roberto's now, 410-770-3500. Attention all contractors. Baltimore Door and Frame can fill your hollow metal and steel door needs. And Baltimore Door and Frame now carries all of your building supplies like insulation, treated lumber, steel studs, acoustic walls, and drywall. Leave the big box and depend on Baltimore Door and Frame. Baltimore Door and Frame now has locations on both shores, so call 1-800-68-DOORS. Support a local business that supports local sports. Baltimore Door and Frame. Call 1-800-68-DOORS.
It's the only show on the shore for all your Bayside High School football scores. Overtime Live
with Mike Bradley on Winx FM.
All right, 949 on the OTL. You know, each week, Mark Potter and Dale Beecraft will choose a sports clips of Kent Island player of the game. That student-athlete will receive the MVP experience, which includes a cut, shampoo scalp massage, a hot face towel, and a relaxing shoulder massage. Get your own MVP experience from Sport Clips Kent Island, located in the Thompson Creek Mall. That is quite an experience. If you haven't been there, you got to check it out. It is a worthwhile experience and definitely will feel you, make you feel relaxed and make you looking sharp, too, if you need a nice trip. All right, we are coming to you from the Edge Trading Academy studios. Taking a look at that Brett Moy Therapy Associate scoreboard if you're just tuning in. At our Overtime Live Friday Night Lights game of the week, it was Kent Island enduring their first loss of the year, 38-13, to a very, very good Fort Hill team. 38-13, the final of that one. Cambridge South Dorchester having no problem with J.M. Bennett, although they did get down 7-0 in this game. That was on a halfback pass, but it was all Cambridge after that, 49-20. Colonel Richardson, they travel to the eastern shore of Virginia, and they endure a 46-26 loss to Nandua. And a game that just came across the wire a few minutes ago, it was Easton over North Carolina, 56-46. In overtime, Kent County over Queen Anne's, 21-15. And making a lot of calls around the Bayside right now. Some of these games just getting over with, so coaches not necessarily available. Some coaches, Coach Coleman called me back and said, I've got 1% on my phone, so I'm going to have to call you when I have to get back to Cambridge and give you a call. And some of the other coaches, Coach Sofanowski out Western Maryland, his phone's off right now, so bear with me. Scott Abraham just tweeted, I think the party's at Wharton tonight. Am I invited? Well, though, you got a show to do in Salisbury. Maybe I'll head to Wharton tonight. If somebody wants to celebrate tonight in Wharton, give me a call, 410-770-9430. Hey, if you were out at the games tonight, any one of the games tonight, give me a call, 410-770-9430. We'll take your phone calls. We talked to the coaches, but if you were at the game, if you're a fan, we'd love to hear from you as well. Coming to you on 94.3 Winks FM and sfmsports.net. Now, let's take a look at some of these games. And I do want to get to the Kent Island-Fort Hill game. I will, but I think there were a lot of people that felt as if this was going to be an uphill battle tonight. So not necessarily surprised at the score, but there were some positives in that game. We'll talk about that coming up. But let's talk about this Eastern North Carolina game. Now, Easton, if you really do some digging, and I don't mean to take anything away from my Comico last week, but if you do some digging, it seemed like Easton, with a lot of self-inflicted wounds, and the weather affected both teams in the first half, but they both have to play in it, so there's no making excuses there. But when you kind of peel away the layers, you felt as if, Easton should have won that game. And if they had, they would have been 6-0. But as Matt Griffith said, hey, we made some mistakes. And actually last week, though, the defense played really, really well. And to me, that was an area of Easton that was concerned, was their defense. Their offense, we know, can score a lot of points. They've got a lot of weapons on that offense, as was evidenced once again tonight. But the concern was the defense. But you go back to last week's game, and even though it was 27 points, one of those touchdowns, if not two of those touchdowns, were on some special teams plays, or lack thereof, that gave Wicomico good field position. One of those touchdowns came on some gambles late in the game as they were trailing and they were trying to get a strip, and they gave up a long touchdown run. But for the most part, the Easton defense did a pretty good job of holding Wicomico in check. And you say, okay, maybe they're turning the corner. Young guys on that side of the ball, they're getting there after week six. But you go into a North Carolina game knowing that the Bulldogs have Kenny Jackson and they've got Rodney Thomas. And they've got that freshman fullback that had a couple of touchdowns a few weeks ago. And you know that that's a team very capable of scoring points via the running game, not so much the passing game. And you come into this game saying, okay, this will be another test for Easton's defense. What can they do? But then you look at North Carolina, too, and for the most part, outside of the Kent County game, they've done a pretty good job this year, all in all. And if you take a look, if you dig down, they've done a pretty good job this year. The front seven's supposed to be their strength. Well, tonight, you come out of this game, and I think you have concerns for both teams on that side of the ball. But what you can definitely say is there's not a lack of offense. But going forward, and for an Easton team, hey, that's great. They're 6-1 now. But I think the concern has to be, you've got obviously a very legitimate chance to go to the playoffs. You're going to have to tighten up that defense at some point. Let's go out to the line and see who we have here. You're on the OTL. Who's this?
Hey, Matt, it's John Tony. I cover sports for Cambridge on another radio station, but I figured I'd give you a call since you can't get in touch with any of the coaches.
No, I appreciate it. Yeah, we're having a bit of a time, but we'll get them. It's just some of the games ended late. But, yeah, no, I appreciate you calling in. What's on your mind? Obviously, you covered the Cambridge game at JM Bennett today.
Yeah, Cambridge pretty handily 49-20 over a pretty good passing Bennett team. They threw the ball a lot, 170-plus yards through the air. The quarterback was 12 for 17 and had some slant passes that worked really well. And talking with defensive coordinator Eric Ote after the game, he said if we give up that many passing yards next week, you're going to have to put him in a ventilator or something, because very disappointed with the defense. But like you said, it was pretty much out of reach after that 7-0 start. Kind of caught Cambridge's defense off guard with that halfback pass. Mm-hmm. Had a man wide open down the field and went for, like, I think it was 62 yards on the second play from scrimmage for Bennett. And but after that, it was pretty much Nate Lowe and the offense really dominated. The offensive line got a big push. Cambridge had over 400 yards of offense, 300-plus on the ground.
Wow.
Yeah, really ran the ball really well. Two touchdowns from Emery Wong. His two touchdowns by Nate Lowe by himself. James Smith got in as well.
Trey Lake had a couple too, right?
And Trey Lake also, only a sophomore. That kid, if you haven't heard of him, he is going to be a star for Cambridge for the next few years. Like I said, only a sophomore. He's one to watch for.
Yeah, when you've got Wongus and James Smith there, and then you've got him as basically a third back in rotation, that's a good thing for Jake Coleman to be able to have there. And he's got a running game and a defense, and that'll get you a long way in any level at in football, whether it be high school, college, or the NFL. Let me ask you this. You know, I know Jay and Bennett, they do have some quality skill position guys. Is the issue with them their offensive line? At least that's what I've heard. And I certainly thought that the front seven of Cambridge would be able to cause issues for J.M. Bennett, and it appeared, at least early on, that it seemed like it did.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The ends for Cambridge, Terry Wilson and Emery Wong, has played the defensive ends. They had no trouble at all getting in the backfield. I mean, the quarterback was under pressure most of the night. That's why they couldn't get anything going on the ground. I think a total of 40 yards or so on the ground, not many rushing yards at all.
Right.
And they were just clogging the holes and getting around the edge and having no trouble getting in the backfield on defense.
Yeah, I heard, though, that talking about Cambridge's defense for a second, back to them, I heard that Michael Jean Charles, who is an outstanding wide receiver for J.M. Bennett, that they were really giving him a lot of cushion and that he was basically wide open on a lot of plays. But, again, the pass rush of Cambridge prevented Larmore from getting the ball to him.
Yeah, you're right. He was one-on-one. Dominic Chester was pretty much covering him all night long on the corner position. And like you said, there was a couple times the ball was up for grabs, and either one of them could have got it. Dominic made a nice adjustment a couple times and knocked the ball down out of his hands. But, yeah, he is a prolific wide receiver for those guys, somebody that I think teams in the future are going to really have to look out for on the outside there.
Well, I tell you, if J.M. Bennett had a better offensive line and they didn't have injuries and a halfway decent defense, that would be a team that would give everybody a run each and every week. That team reminds me of Kent County in a lot of ways, only they don't have the defense, and not that Kent County's offensive line is the best. They've dropped off a little, but if they had a better offensive line, that J.M. Bennett team could be a team to at least reckon with, because they do have a lot of skill, quality skill guys, and it starts with their quarterback. Larmore's a pretty good guy there.
Yeah, he is really good. He controls the offense, and like you said, if he has any bit of time, like I said, 170-some yards through the air tonight, so he can do a lot of good things. And, hey, how about Kent County? Hats off to them. I mean, I know I'm a Cambridge guy through in and throughout. I mean, I graduated from there and everything. But, man, hats off to those guys. They needed a win like this, I think. And I think their schedule is pretty soft for the next 3 weeks. They could find themselves with Perryville and Havre de Grace kind of floundering here. You know, Perryville got a nice win last night over Havre de Grace. But they could find themselves in the three, maybe even two position by the time this thing gets all wrapped up.
It could be. And what, Havre de Grace now has, what, three losses? But I think both teams were 4-2 coming into the game yesterday, right?
Yeah, Havre de Grace fell to 4-3, and Perryville improved to 5-2. So right now, Perryville's the number two. Havre de Grace will be the three. And I think with this win,
you got Bo Manor was ahead of Kent County, I believe, in the fourth spot. But now that Kent County's picked up another win against a 2A team, Now, I don't know who Bo Manor played, but that will certainly help Kent County.
Yeah, Bo Manor got the win last night they played, but I think this will prevent or move Kent County up into that four hole. And like I said, their schedule is really soft in the latter part of the season here, so they should be able to get three more wins. And what I thought, they were going to be 6-4, maybe 5-5. You know, they got a, after that Stone Hill game when they only won 29-28, I didn't know what was going on up there, but they have really turned it around the last 2 weeks. So
they have. Yeah, no, you bring up a great point. These 2 weeks were make or break, and really last week's game was a make or break. If they fall at that point to what would have been, they would have been 2-4 at that point, and then going in off a loss like that to Queen Anne's, maybe the mindset's a lot different, and they lose that game instead of winning it overtime, and their season's done. So last week was a make or break. They got it done, and then, boy, to go into Queen Anne's, to go into Centerville like that and get a win, that's amazing. And Brendan Ironton said that the defense isn't going to be talked about this year, but it's going to be pretty good. And even though the offense will get all the acclaim, well, let's take a look. If it weren't for the defense the last 2 weeks, the offense pretty much has done nothing. The defense had 6 points tonight. They had the winning touchdown last week in a 7-0 game. If it weren't for the defense over the last 2 weeks, that team would be down and out and done for the year.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, when Cambridge played them in week two, everybody was talking about the offense, but their defense held Cambridge to 23 points. I mean, they showed up.
They did. Yep.
And we know that when Cambridge can get things rolling, like we've had two games here, 47 and 49 points, they can put some points on the board. So it will be really interesting if they are like the four and Cambridge is the one, if they have to play each other again.
Oh, well, there's no question that Kent County wants revenge in that game. But, you know, and I don't know. I think that was the interesting question going into that game was that during the summer, everybody was talking about Kent County, Kent County, Kent County, and I know that they wanted to beat Cambridge in the worst way, but did they put too much emphasis on that game and maybe took it a little bit too far with that? I don't know. I'm just asking a question. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. Who knows? But they certainly played a much better second half. And I'm sure that they would love, well, I know that they would love a rematch, no question. Hey, we got to hop, but hey, thank you so much for calling in. Hey, don't be a stranger next week. Call, get in the mix here, okay?
We play Saturday against 4A Delaney, so I'll be listening to you Friday night.
Oh, you guys have another Delaney game?
Yeah, we go to Delaney next Saturday at 2 o'clock. So we'll
okay.
know all the ins and outs going into that 4A battle.
Well, you know what? I have to see, because I do Maryland Terps coverage for CBS Radio. If I didn't have that, I'd make it over there, because that's about 10 minutes from my parents' house over in Timonium there. But you guys killed that 4A team last year, and they're not very good this year. And Fort Hill beat a Walter Johnson team last week that was a 4A team. And it goes to show that just because you have a big population doesn't necessarily mean you have a good football team, although you would think you'd have some players, but Walter Johnson doesn't, and neither does Delaney. So don't take them for granted, but you guys should get that win on the road next week.
Well, let me tell you, about having kids come out, Coach Coleman has, between JV and varsity, there's 450 boys in Cambridge, South Chester. You've got 117 playing football.
That's an impressive percentage. Hey, we got a hop. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Good conversation. I like that. That's good stuff. Yeah, don't be a stranger. Get on in at 410-770-9430. All right, we need to go to break. We need to get some coaches around the Bayside. We will attempt to do that next. Keep it here.
WINX-FM, St. Michael's Easton, a First Media station. Your local sports leader, 94.3 Winks FM.
The Preston Autoplex is uniting for a cure. Choose from acres of new Fords, Lincolns, Mazda, Nissan, Hyundais, and plus there's hundreds of pre-owned vehicles too. Get discounts and rebates totaling up to $12,000 or choose finance rates as low as 0% on over 2,000 vehicles in stock. Show your support during Breast Cancer Awareness Month at the Preston Autoplex.
Buy a vehicle and we will make a $50 donation to the American Cancer Society. Plus you'll get a pink frog.
Only at the Preston Autoplex or online at PrestonMotor.com.
Cars cost less in Preston.
Queenstown Bank is proud to sponsor the Overtime Live Student Athlete of the Year. We take pride in supporting our local youth, whether it's in the sports they play, their academics, or understanding the importance of financial literacy. At Queenstown Bank, we think of it as investing in our future. For more information on financial education or information about the products and services we offer, stop into any of our 8 locations within Queen Anne's, Talbot, and Caroline counties. Queenstown Bank, proud supporter of our youth. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Now, back to Maryland's only high school football sports show, Overtime Live with Mike Bradley on 94.3 Winks FM.
10:04 on the OTL. And joining us on the coach's line is Matt Griffith of the Easton Warriors. Winners tonight, boy, 100 and let me count this up. What was there, 102 points scored this game? Coach, wow. Have you ever been a part of that high-scoring game before?
That's a first for me to be able to put up 50-something and give up 40-something.
Well, Coach, coming into the game, I said that I thought that a couple of things between the two teams. I thought that if this game did get into a shootout, I thought that you guys had some more firepower, and I thought that you were more of a balanced team, meaning that not only, obviously, could you run the ball and have explosive plays that way, but certainly you've got a quarterback in Jalen Mooney and weapons to throw to, and I thought that if it got into a game like it did today, that the passing game would be the difference, and clearly you guys were able to take advantage of that North Carolina secondary. And I was curious because, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Steven Decatur throwing 4 touchdown passes against you guys in the first half and thinking last week that they would have similar success against North Carolina. They didn't. So coming into today and you saw the tape, I don't know what you thought about their secondary, but clearly you said, well, we can make some plays there.
Well, I think we looked at a couple things. First off, North Carolina's a very good football team. They're well coached, so we knew they would make adjustments based off of what we did. We got some good matchups early that we wanted to get. That really helped us get going. Unfortunately for us, you know, they got 2 or 3 very good running backs that are very fast. And I think what happened tonight was you had 2 good football teams that committed to stopping what the other ones did very well early in the game. Whatever, you pick your one thing, you're going to stop, make them do something else.
Mm-hmm.
And I think us and Caroline both were able to do just the opposite, and that's why the score got up early in the first half.
So you're saying that you were able to shut down one of the things you were looking at, or one of the players you were looking to shut down, but that other players made plays, and that was the difference?
Absolutely. And, you know, specific things, you know, Caroline's very good at what they do. And we knew we had to stop their, you know, their guard trap and belly and dive. And, you know, they got the edge once or twice on us. And when you commit to stopping one thing, if somebody gets out in space as fast as they are, they were gone.
So this is more of, hey, both teams have so many offensive weapons that you can only shut down so much and hope that you limit whatever else they're able to throw out at you.
Absolutely. And, that, you know, I think, you know, they had a good game plan coming in. They moved some of their defensive players around, which, you know, we thought was kind of key. And, you know, did some blitzing that we planned on, so we're a little prepared for that. And we were able to get out early to, you know, I think we ended up with 208 yards passing and 300 on and then some on the ground. I think it was almost 560 total yards.
Yeah, and taking a look at the stats at halftime, you guys were pretty even in the running game, but the difference was the passing game. And coming into tonight, Coach, I think it's pretty clear you guys had the advantage on that end of the ball or that end of the offense, and you clearly made some big plays there.
Yeah, you know, I think, and the one thing for us that was really good is we were able to spread the ball around. It wasn't one specific target for us. You know, Steve Carlson got us off early. With some big key possessions, and then you had Ryan Hall and Alex Archer, you know, doing their thing as well. So it was good.
Coach, let me ask you this, though, in terms of, and I know you just did a great job breaking down, and see, this is where, you know, you see a score and you assume some things, but that's where you have to kind of dig deeper, peel some of the layers back, have, you know, talk to the coaches and find out, and that's why we appreciate the coaches coming on this program and letting us know. But to that end, I know you talked about some of the reasons why there was a lot of scoring in this game, but as you're through 7 weeks of football, I know you're 6-1, but is there still some concern with that young defense, though, that there are still, at the end of the day, too many points being given up?
Absolutely. You know, it comes down to being able to, you know, not have mental breakdowns and, you know, do their job. And when you have young athletes and you're dealing with kids, sometimes they, you know, they react instead of, you know, thinking through the process. And you can rep it all week long, but when you get out there on a game, if they choose to go to the wrong gap or forget a coverage, and, you know, that's what happens. They're kids. So you just got to find a way to build them up and continue to work with the ones that are out there. And, you know, we've had some issues in the secondary, and honestly, our secondary played stellar tonight.
Mm-hmm.
We had two picks, and, you know, we broke down and made some big tackles. I think they had one pass that went for over 20 yards, and that was it.
Coach, I guess with a young defense, you take a look at this season, and as compared to if this was a senior-led defense, you'd say, well, after week seven, you know, we've reached our ceiling with the defense. It is what it is, and let's just hope that we bend and don't break much. But with a younger defense, there's still a lot of room for improvement, and that's, I guess, the glass half full there.
Absolutely. You know, we got that mentality, you know, let's bend but not break. And we had that happen a couple times tonight. We've had some really big key stops. You know, and if we can ever figure out how to tackle better, because we look great in practice, we look great at times, and all of a sudden we get bad habits. And, you know, I just think it's, you know, part of a routine and continuing to rep the younger kids and making sure. And we're going to continue tonight. We had some different starters in there. Dre Stevens, a senior, got a start as a cornerback tonight, and he had a great game.
Well, Coach, bouncing back from last week, and I said this, and not to take anything away from Wicomico, but it seemed like, as you talked last week, and I'll say this, you don't have to, it seemed like a lot of self-inflicted wounds that, you know, if you cleaned it up a little bit, that you probably would have been able to win that game. It wouldn't have necessarily been Wicomico beating you. You guys beat yourself. So, to me, you could have very easily been 6-0 coming into this game.
Yeah, you know, listen, Wi-Hi did some really good stuff last week. They played probably one of their better games that we had seen them. From being filmed and also in person.
And they followed it up last night. They followed it up last night, so give a lot of credit to them, yes.
Absolutely. They get all the credit in the world. You know, but to your point, when we came back and looked at it, we knew that we beat ourselves. There was a lot of things that we did not do that we should have done. There was a lot of drop balls, and it seemed like it was one of those nights where every time we had a big third or fourth down, we had a botched snap or a false start penalty. And, you know, sometimes that's the way it works. And, you know, I told my kids we'd learn a lot about my team this week. And, you know, I think we built some character. and found out, you know, they're ready to play some Eastern Warrior football.
Well, Coach, at this point, you take a look, 6-1 after 7 weeks. Now you kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel. 3 more games to go here. When do you start bringing in the P word here? Because certainly the better the seed, the better for you guys as you try to go to postseason play.
Well, you know, tonight was a must-win for us. That's what we talked about this week. We had the flush last week's loss to Wyhigh. Come out, get focused, and do our job. And that's what the kids did. And we still have some breakdowns that we'll talk about film tomorrow. But I think the way the 2A is right now, every game is a big game, big potential. I know there was a lot of different things that happened tonight, you know, in the Bayside. And I know a lot of the same teams have to play each other. We got a brutal 3-game schedule with Kent Island, Queen Anne's, and Cambridge, 3 of the better teams in the Bayside. And I know, Kent Island's a very good football team, and they're very well coached. And we're going to have our hands full next week.
Coach, where is that game?
It's at home for us.
Okay, I'm sorry. I missed that. One of the things you could say about your team, battle-tested, though, you take a look at the last, 3-4 weeks and the tight games you guys have been in, that really builds a lot of character for a team.
Well, and that's what we're hoping, that, you know, they learn from these the moments that we have and, you know, take those learnings, and hopefully it makes it better for us if we can advance. This year and get a couple more games under our belt and hopefully then make it into the playoffs.
All right, Coach, I appreciate your time. And congratulations, Matt Griffith, head coach of the Easton Warriors. Winners tonight and a lot of points scored in Easton tonight. It was funny, at halftime, the Queen Anne's Kent County game was nothing, and Dale Beecraft said, well, all the points are in Easton. As at the end of the day, 102 points scored between the two teams. Coach, thanks much, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks a lot, Mike. Have a good night.
You too. Take care. 10-12 on the OTL, 5646 Easton, winners over North Carolina. All right, we'll stop down. We'll come back, and we'll try to catch up with head coach Brendan Ironton of Kent County as they win 21-15 in overtime, a team that was maybe down and out at 1-3 last week, season on the line, I think, against Parkside. The defense comes up big last week, and they do again this week. We'll try and talk about it next on the OTL, 94.3 Winx FM at sfmsports.net.
Doc's Downtown Grill is your new destination for lunch or dinner. Doc's Downtown Grill has 7 big screen TVs, so you won't miss a single football game. You want to watch the Big Ten or SEC game? No problem. Doc's has them all. Plus, Doc's has the college game plan package, too. Like the NFL better? Doc's has every NFL game offered. Wear your Redskins or Ravens game day gear to Doc's on Sundays, and you could win some great prizes. Take advantage of Doc's touchdown menu during every game. Drink specials, plus food specials that include wings your way for just $6. Doc's Downtown Grill, your new destination for food, fun, and football.
Matt, look out for that skunk!
I didn't even see that until you said something.
Here, try these.
What a difference. No glare.
That, my friend, is the Costa 580 polarized lens from an Optical Galleria. They are a Costa RX dealer, so you can get a Costa with or without prescription. An Optical Galleria has an in-house lab if you want to use your frame. They can fit you with the Experio polarized lens for the best vision under the sun. They're in Centerville and West Ocean City. Stop in and see the difference. 443-262-9415.
Now, back to Maryland's only high school football sports show, Overtime Live with Mike Bradley on 94.3 Winx FM.
All right, 10-14, and I believe on the coach's line, we've got Brendan Ironton of the Kent County Trojans. Coach, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, well, I appreciate it. And, Coach, what a win tonight, and we'll touch upon that or a lot of that in just a second. Let's go back, though, to last week. In a game in which you come in against Parkside at 1-3, it's a Saturday game, it's homecoming, but to me, that's a make-or-break game. You may or may not agree with that, but to me, that's a make-or-break game. It's a game against a 2A team, so additional points to be accumulated. You win that game 7-0 on a pick six. Your defense pitches a shutout, which we don't see often in high school football these days. You come back this week, you go into the Lions' Den, literally against Queen Anne's, and again, the defense comes up big when all during the offseason, all the media, all of us, we talked about that offense. Talk about your defense finally getting maybe some of the credit they deserve.
You know, these guys have been on the field all year, and they give them credit. It's a younger group, a lot of new starters. They just keep buying into what we're doing and keep working hard, getting in better shape. And, you know, for the first person I've seen, we were playing a lot of defense, and I think up to now, I think it's kind of helped us get into better shape.
and those guys understand what we expect, especially the new starters. We had, I think we graduated 8 or 9 starters from our defense last year. So it took a little bit of time, but the playmakers are stepping up. We got our athletes out there, and those guys are making, they're doing a great job making plays the last two weeks.
So is it safe enough to say now after week 7 that the defense has turned the page and that they're on the they're trending the way obviously you want them to?
I mean, yeah, you could say that. I mean, we still got 3 weeks to prove it again, but those guys, getting those guys back healthy and the other guys keep plugging at it, and you know they look like a bona fide defense right now, and I'm proud of those guys.
Coach, can you point to one area of the defense, whether it be stopping the run or forcing turnovers, although that obviously has been a big part the last couple of weeks, that you can point to that's been a big factor for that side of the ball?
You know, can't really point to one side. You know, it's definitely a team effort. The way they prepared, the way they've watched film, listened to what the coaches and the tendencies and everything like that, they just really pay attention to detail, and big plays, they're stepping off and making big plays. So,
now, Coach, you changed your defensive scheme in the offseason, did you not?
We changed it in the beginning of the year, and then the last couple of weeks, we were like, you know what, let's take a look back at the out front. And the last 2 weeks, we've actually used that. So,
and was that something you guys used last year then?
And we used it last year, the previous two years, and, you know, we felt like it worked for us at times, and we felt like it was a good time to kind of go back to it.
Coach, talk about the game today, scoreless at halftime, and going in against Queen Anne's. I know this year they have 3 sophomores on the offensive line, and certainly, though, they performed very well for the most part up to this point, but still a young offensive line, to say the least, when you've got the likes of Tommy Jones, Brendan Kavanaugh, and Bradley Harmon at quarterback. What were you able to do in that first half to prevent them from not getting – 1 point?
To be honest with you, it was just, you know, it was preparation. We watched a ton of films of coaching staff. We felt like we had a lot of good tendencies down, and what we wanted to do was, obviously, Kavanaugh's a big part of their offense. And what we noticed is they run a lot of motions away and try to get you to go with it, and they come back with Kavanaugh or Tommy Jones.
Mm-hmm.
So we just kind of stuck to the game plans, stuck to what we saw on film, and obviously, it worked for us, and the first half, that proved to be the best point.
And then, Coach, in the second half, you guys were able to score some points, one of them coming on a 6. But what was the difference for the offense to be able to score a little bit in the second half compared to the first half?
You know, we actually had the ball twice, I think inside the 30, and we turned it over, and we were moving the ball pretty decently, I thought, in the first quarter. But that's football. You know, that's what happened. We kind of went to an ace formation with our guys out wide and just wanted to get the ball out wide and found out the middle was Seymour, and we just kind of stayed patient with it and then paid off for us.
So, Coach, now, if I were to take a look at the last 2 weeks just from a pure numbers standpoint, I'd say, wow, you get Tavon Thomas back healthy, Marquand Green healthy at the same time. Now, I know Manny Camper's out until possibly postseason for you, but you take a look and say the offense has been pretty disappointing. Is that a little unfair? Have they at least been moving the ball, it sounds like?
I'll tell you what, I wouldn't necessarily agree with that. I feel like we've made plays when we needed to, especially last week. We made some key third down conversions, or fourth down conversions to keep the clock moving when we needed to. And on the other hand, we played some really 2 good defenses in the league, 2 of the better defenses.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for us to get the win the last 2 weeks is just what we want to do as a team, is we just want to get the win, and we'll do it however we can.
Coach, you were 1-3 going into last week. As I said, I thought it was probably a make-or-break game. Maybe you lose that game to Parkside, and the mentality's different coming into Centerville, which is the tough place to win, but you guys get the win 7-0. But talk about, and you said we'll see about whether the players rally and if there's leadership about turning things around over the last 2 weeks. What have you seen? What has been the difference, not necessarily on the field, but what have been the intangibles that have made the difference for you guys winning the last 2 games?
Kids just playing team football. They're not pointing fingers, and you know, it's not, you know, we've kind of gone by a motto the last 2 weeks, it's not about me. And they're kind of rallying around that, and they're just playing great as a team the last 2 weeks. I got to give it up to the our leaders in the football team. They've really stepped it up with leadership-wise, and it's paid off.
Coach, do you think tonight's win was the biggest win of the program since you've been there? Because to me, it seems like that very well may be the case.
I think it's probably the biggest win since, obviously it's the biggest win since I've been here, but it's probably the biggest win Kent County's had probably since 97, 96. They made it to the state championship. It's just with everything that we've been through adversity-wise in the first half of the season, and to kind of sit here and really sit here and talk about beating Queen Anne and going 4-3 after, like you said, we started 1-3. It's just been, it's tiring, but it's also rewarding.
Coach, take me through that last play. Tommy Jones was held up, I believe it was a fourth down play. He was a fourth and one, and you guys were able to stand up and stop him from getting in. Did you expect that he was going to be the guy to get the ball? Were you expecting run? Were you expecting pass? Walk me through that.
100% all the way. We thought Tommy would get it. He's a hard runner, and in that situation, who else would you want to give it to?
And you guys expected run there, not maybe a play action pass?
Yeah, we gambled on it.
Well, no, look, that's not a bad gamble with either Tommy Jones or Kavanaugh getting the ball in that situation. And if you're Donnie Graf, why wouldn't you want to do the same thing, put the ball in one of your best players' hands? No question about it. Well, Coach, who do you guys have next week?
Washington.
Okay, is that game at home or on the road?
That's senior night for us.
Okay, so that'll be in Wharton. So that'll be a little bit of a break. Not quite Queen Anne's or Parkside that you had to play. So hopefully looking to go 5-3. And another week that you pick up some two A points, which is big. Now, I've got to assume, though, obviously you're trying to dig yourselves out of a hole. Playoffs is not something you guys were talking about. But now as you go into the latter weeks here, 8, 9, and 10, I've got to think that may start to pop up in the vocabulary at some point.
Yeah, you can say that.
All right, fair enough. Well, Coach, hey, congratulations. I think, and we talked about this on this program, and just in the same way that we'd like to see more of the South teams do well to make it a much more competitive league, it's good to see Kent County, again, a relevant program over the last couple of years, and to get a win like this, again, it keeps things really interesting. And I tell you what, it's been the toughest darn 2 weeks for me in picking games, and that's that's because of the likes of you guys, which I'll take, though. That means it's a week-to-week league, and it's tough to pick, and that's a good thing. That means there's a lot of good football taking place in the Bayside. Coach, as always, I appreciate your time, and enjoy the win. I know you'll be back at it preparing for next week soon, but enjoy it, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, I appreciate it.
All right, take care. That's head coach Brendan Ironton, 21-15 winners in overtime against Queen Anne's. Wow. That, as he said, the biggest win of the program going back to 1997. That sounds about right. And you think about the job that he's done, and you look at this team coming into this year. So many expectations and a vaunted offense that was talked about scoring a ton of points, and they have at times this year. But the defense not getting a lot of love. They graduate a lot of guys. They change schemes. They're 1-3. And who is it that they end up, what side of the ball do they end up relying on to win them the games over the last 2 weeks? It's their defense, not their offense. Who would have thunk that? Now, he made a good point, though, when you take a look. And again, that's why this is great. The coaches are able to call in here, and I appreciate their time. You take a look at the numbers and say, the offense has been disappointing. But at the same time, you are playing two really good defenses in Parkside and Queen Anne's. Also, what you don't maybe know is, okay, maybe they're not scoring points, but if they're moving the ball and eating clock up and it's a close defensive game, they're at least keeping the other team's offense off the field and keeping their defense fresh. And if they're at least getting in and threatening, and even if they turn over the ball on downs, they're giving the offense a long field to have to drive themselves to be able to get a score. And so, there are some positive things that can take place, but it doesn't necessarily show up on the scoreboard. And it sounds like partially that's the case. But, hey, look, you play good defensive teams, these high-powered offenses, they're not always going to just score at will on anybody, even good defense. It doesn't always happen like that. And sometimes you need these gritty wins, even with a team that is supposedly known for their offense, not their defense. You need these gritty wins where you have to play kind of old-fashioned Ravens football. And eke them out, however you have to get it done. It's not always pretty. It's not about style points. It's about W's. And all I know right now is Kent County's 4-3, two straight 2A wins. And as he said, yeah, you can start to talk playoffs. You have to. Weeks 8, 9, and 10, that's what you're looking at. Now, Bo Matter won last night. Perryville beat Havre de Grace, who's now got three losses. So you've got, I believe, a couple of 4-3 teams there that are all tied. So they're very much in the hunt for the 1A playoffs. All right, we need to stop down, come back, and get in touch with some more coaches across the Bayside. It is the OTL, 94.3 Wings FM and sfmsports.net.
U.S. Heating and Air is growing, and we're looking to add more HVAC technicians to our team. Must be licensed, have a good driving record, and clean background. U.S. Heating and Air offers great pay, great benefits, and company vehicle. So call 410-819-USUS for more info. If you're an HVAC technician, come grow with the U.S. Heating and Air team. Call 819-USUS. Need a plumber? Call Roto-Rooter Plumbing and Drain Service. Servicing Delmarva for over 30 years, they are the original Roto-Rooter that you can count on. Whatever your plumbing or drain service needs, they can fix it. Give them a call at 888-EDS-ROTO. That's 888-EDS-ROTO. Or check them out on the web at edsroto.com. When you hear this jingle, you'll know it's the real Roto-Rooter.
Call Roto-Rooter, that's the name.
Paula's Fine Jewelry is a full-service family jewelry store specializing in jewelry, keepsakes, and gifts for the whole family. At Paula's, you'll find quality certified diamonds, sterling silver, charms, diamond and gemstone jewelry, and pearls, as well as designer and sports jewelry. Paula's Fine Jewelry offers custom jewelry design, on-premise jewelry repair, and appraisals by appointment. For the best quality from your hometown jewelry store, stop by Paula's Fine Jewelry at 1607 Postal Road in Chester. Paula's is open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 6 until 2 on Saturday. Call Paula's Fine Jewelry today at 410-643-8044.
The game is over and the lights are off, but we're just getting started. It's back to Overtime Live
with Mike Bradley on 94.3 Winks FM.
All right, 1027, North Carolina head coach James McCormick in just a second. Hey, we need your help, though. If you're attending a high school sports game, then we want your pictures and videos. Send them to us at overtimelive@goeastern.net or tag Mark Potter or Overtime Live in your Facebook pictures. Also, don't forget that if you can't get us on the radio for some reason, if you're headed out of town, maybe you're headed out to see Kent Island play Fort Hill. And obviously, we don't quite reach that far with a radio signal. You can listen worldwide and streaming at sfmsports.net. You can also download the TuneIn Radio app for your smartphone or your tablet and then type in SFM Sports and listen that way on Channel 4. Head coach James McCormick of North Carolina joining us on the coaches line, and a tough loss tonight in a game that's featured a 102 points between both teams. And coach, have you ever quite been a part of a shootout like that?
No, I haven't. That was, for a while there, I thought I was watching Baylor TCU on TV or something. It was like a track meet, kids running up and down the field on both sides. So it's the first time I've ever been a part of a game scoring that much.
Coach, it's funny you should say that, because I believe it was Spencer Tillis from WNDT that posted a picture of the scoreboard at halftime, and I saved it and I put it on our Overtime Live Facebook page, and I said, yeah, Eastern North Carolina doing their best impression of TCU Baylor last week, and indeed that was the case. So great minds think alike there. Coach, taking a look at this game and my analysis, I thought that, you know, if it got into a shootout, I thought that, you know, Easton may have a couple of more players, a couple more weapons that they could outscore you. From a defensive standpoint, though, it makes it very difficult when the opposing offense has that many weapons and you can only stop so many.
Yeah, it was, Easton's got an explosive offense. We knew that going in. We thought we had a pretty good game plan. And we thought we'd be able to slow them down a little bit more than what we did. We knew we were going to have to score some points. We just didn't think we were going to have to score that many. So, we're going to have to get back to figuring things out, and hopefully, we got Queen Anne coming up next, so hopefully we don't have to get in the track meet with them.
Coach, Matt Griffith paid you guys a compliment as well, though, with your offense, and saying that he thought that the difference early in the game, or the issue with some of the defenses for both teams, was that both teams did do a good job of at least shutting down one area of the other team's offense, but that when other guys had to step up to make plays, they did, and that's what happened tonight.
Yeah, you know what, we knew going in we couldn't just rely on one or two things we've been doing. We knew we were going to have to open our playbook up and spread the ball around a little bit more. So that was kind of our game plan going in. I thought all our guys stepped up and made plays when they had to. And, some of our big names kept making big plays, and we had a lot of other guys that were helping us out. But, you can't get into a track meet with Easton. They, They had some talented kids that they got up and down the field, and they just they scored a little bit more than we did.
And Coach, I talked about the fact earlier in the program that I guess a couple of weeks ago, Easton gave up four touchdown passes to Stephen Decatur in the first half, and we know Justin Meekins is a pretty good quarterback. And, you know, we talked a little bit, and you said that, yeah, we're going to have to shore up some things in our secondary and be watchful of Decatur's passing game. And last week, you guys did a good job of not giving up the big play in the air to Stephen Decatur. You come into this game against Easton, though, and clearly they were able to do some things against your secondary, though.
Yeah, and, you know, they made a couple big plays. You know, there was one or two in the first half that, you know, I think we just we kind of blew an assignment and didn't have a guy where we need him to be. But, yeah, I give them credit. They're talented. Their kids made some nice catches. The Mooney kid put the ball where he needed to put it. And, yeah, they caused us fits all night. So, you know, we thought we had it squared away, like you said, last week. And, you know, going into this week, we thought we'd be okay with it. And just it didn't happen that way. So we're going to have to figure it out.
Coach, you've been at North Carolina a long time, and I've been covering the Bayside off and on for about 10 years now. And you could answer this much better, though, than I probably could. In terms of, especially from a defensive perspective, do you find now, especially with more of these spread offenses, do you find now that you have to worry about more offensive threats now than maybe you did 10 years ago from teams?
Well, it's different now, the spread offenses, but, you know, look, you can't run a spread offense if you don't have talented kids. You can line up in a spread offense if you don't have the kids to get the ball around the field. You know, it doesn't make a difference. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is one of those years with, you know, Kent Island's running a spread, and they got some talented kids. Easton's running a spread, they got some talented kids. Decatur, you know, there's a lot of schools that are spreading the ball out. Kent's spreading the ball out, but there's a lot of talented kids playing in the Bayside. And it's, you know, we haven't had this much talent as far as skill position talent in a long time.
Well, that's where I was kind of going with that question too. Not just the type of offense, but as you pointed out, you need the players for that. But is there more of a dearth of offensive skill players now than there was say 10 years ago? And obviously you just answered that it has been a while, huh?
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, I look at teams, and you know, it used to be, you know, maybe one or two kids on each team that you really had to worry about, and had some solid players other positions, and you know, then there were a couple games that you knew you didn't have too many surprises, but. You know, I look at, you know, every week we're breaking down film and we're going to games and we're saying, good Lord, what are we going to do this week? They got this kid, they got that kid. And, you know, it doesn't matter who we're playing. It seems like every time you turn around, there's talented kids, you know, whether it's Parkside, whether it's Kent Island, Easton. You know, I mean, there's kids everywhere. And, you know, it's tough to defend.
You look at the college ranks, it seemed like Pete Carroll at USC had a tough time with all those great USC teams, but he was having a tough time towards the end of his tenure stopping the spread offenses like Oregon, and then he goes to the NFL and gets out of there before his defensive reputation gets smeared anymore, and it certainly is a tough offense to stop, no question, especially when you have a lot of different players. And maybe, I guess, from an outsider's point of view, you have to expect more of these higher scoring games, and that doesn't necessarily mean the defenses are bad, but that just that you've got so many offensive talented players.
Yeah, it's you know, we haven't quite figured it out yet. We're going to have to, you know, try to figure out what works for us and for our kids and our system. And we can't get in the track meets where we're putting up, you know, 45, 50 points a game and losing. Yeah, we got to figure out some way to stop these teams and slow them down.
Coach, a personnel question for you. Last week against Decatur, I know the freshman fullback you brought up, it didn't seem like he played last week. Is that correct?
He's a little banged up,
okay.
And he got, you know, he only got a little bit of playing time last week, not much, and he actually was out this week. You know, we're hoping to, you know, maybe get him back next week. We'll have to see. I'm not sure. You know, a lot of it depends on how his rehab's coming, and, you know, we'll see what happens.
Now, last week, Rodney Thomas was held down for the most parts, but Kenny Jackson still had a pretty big game. He had another big game tonight. Is that what Easton took away? Did they take away Rodney Thomas again, and Kenny Jackson made him pay for it?
I don't know. We kept feeding the ball to Kenny because he kept running. I think he had four touchdowns in the first half.
Yeah.
You know, Rodney had some big plays. I think Rodney got two or three in the second half on some nice big runs. So, you know, we were just kind of going with what worked for us, and you know, it seemed like they were letting Kenny run a little bit, so we kept feeding him.
Was there anybody else offensively that stepped up tonight, or somebody that you could say you rely on as, say, that third option for you?
Yeah, well, you know, it's you know, Jeff Paul, I think, did a pretty good job for us tonight. You know, quarterback, we spread the ball out a little bit, threw the ball a little bit more than we usually do. Anton Black, a wide receiver, made a couple of really nice circus catches for us. You know, he's a talented kid, and he's got great hands. So, you know, it was nice to get him back. He didn't play last week. He was injured. But
you said Anton Black?
Yeah, Anton Black, a wide receiver. And,
gotcha.
Yeah, so we had some good kids. But, you know, the other thing is, you know, you're moving the ball and you're having success. It doesn't happen just on the legs of talented running backs. You got to have guys up front to block their tails off. And, I think our offensive line is doing a pretty good job. You know, a lot of unsung heroes up there, and they're giving the kids opportunity to have a little bit of space to run. And, that, a lot of credit goes to those kids.
Coach, who do you have? Oh, I know before I ask you who you've got next week, I pointed this out at halftime. Now, obviously, this didn't end up being the difference in the game, but I know you couldn't have been happy in the first half. You've got a kick block, extra point kick block, a two-point fail, a kick no good, and a kick block. That's a potential 5 points right there that could have ended up being the difference in a game like tonight.
Yeah, I'll tell you, special teams are killing us right now. I don't know what we're going to do. You know, we worked on it all week. We thought we had some things figured out with our kickoff and our PAT teams, and it didn't happen that way tonight. You know, we were given kickoff was not very good, and we were given Easton a short field just about every time we scored. And, we get the touchdown, and, you know, that PAT should be pretty darn near automatic, and right now it's not for us. So, you know, we'll have to figure some things out.
Coach, next week Queen Anne's comes to town. I don't know if you heard, but they were, if you want to call it, I would call it this because it's the biggest win in their program's history in a while. Kent County, they upset Queen Anne's 21-15 in overtime. They stuffed Tommy Jones on the 1 yard line on a 4th-and-1. They come to town. Two teams very hungry. At least you're the home team in that one.
Yeah, well, we always play a little bit better at home. I'm not shocked at Kent, you know, beating Queen Anne. They got some talented kids.
That team that you beat.
That is an upset. And look, Queen Anne's is Queen Anne's until you knock them off. You know, they're Queen Anne's. They're on the top. So, you know, we got our hands full, and we're going to have to figure some things out. They got some talented kids. You know, the Jones kid, a fullback's a big bruiser. The quarterback kid they got is he's a runner and a passer. He's going to cause us a lot of problems. They got a pretty good wide receiver and running back. I mean, they got some talented kids, and we're going to have to play a lot better defense next week than we did this week.
All right, head coach James McCormick of North Carolina. Coach, as always, we appreciate your time, and best of luck. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
All right, take care. 10:38 on the OTL, 94.3 Winx FM and sfmsports.net. Taking a look at the Twitter sphere, Scott Abraham's getting a lot of heat because he went with, and look, I went with Queen Anne's tonight as well. For you Kent County folks out there, I went with Queen Anne's. No disrespect to you guys. I actually showed Kent County a lot of respect early in the year with my picks and my poll rankings. And I kept Kent County high despite the losses at 1-3. So don't beat me up too much. I've been showing you guys a lot of respect, but, you know, I last week and this week, very, very impressive that you went on the defensive end of things. Very impressive. He's been taking a lot of heat on Twitter tonight. But, hey, congratulations to him. That just means the Bayside's that much more better when now Kent County can go into Queen Anne's and win. It's not still an easy task. If other teams are on the outside thinking, oh, well, we can go in there and do it, that's an uphill battle. And don't forget to tune in every week of the regular season. Overtime Live presented by the Preston Automotive Group at Best Western Plus Easton and its suites to see who's chosen as the Overtime Live El Jefe Restaurant Coach of the Week. That coach receives a gift certificate to El Jefe, and you can win too. Visit El Jefe Restaurant and mention you heard about them on Overtime Live or on 94.3 Winx FM. And you'll be entered into a drawing for a $200 El Jefe gift certificate. That drawing done in November. Just in time for the holidays. All right, we will try to stop down, come back, and get in touch with a couple of more coaches around the Bayside. Keep it here. 94.3 Winx FM at sfmsports.net.
When it comes to imagination and ingenuity, Ben Franklin more than fits the bill. That's why Ben Franklin Crafts Easton fits the bill for all of your crafts and custom framing needs. They have everything you need to design, create, and embellish. All you need to do is provide imagination. Keep updated on Facebook. Ben Franklin Crafts Easton, Easton Plaza.
You're listening to Guy Talk, live from the Sport Clips Haircuts locker room. Caller, you're on the air.
My girlfriend beat me playing one-on-one.
Ooh, sounds like you need to hit up a Sport Clips for an awesome haircut experience and some quality man time.
I don't know. My girlfriend always takes me to her salon.
Nonsense. Be your own man and get a great haircut in a guy-friendly place from stylists who know what guys need.
You may be right.
Sure I'm right. Now grab your Y chromosome, get down to Sport Clips, and ask for the MVP. Sport Clips. It's good to be a guy.
Sport Clips, located in the Thompson Creek Mall on Kent Island, and proud sponsor of Overtime Live's Player of the Game Award.
The Edge Training Academy is a one-stop shop specializing in speed and agility for student athletes, but we also offer a very wide range of activities for people as young as 2 years old all the way through full adult age classes. The motto here we go by is where passion meets performance. What it takes to be the best is within you, okay? Every individual is equipped with something that is innate. It's there, okay? You just got to dig at it. You got to find it. You got to polish it. And really, that's what we're here to do.
Come get the edge in the Chesapeake Bay Business Park, Stevensville. Call the Edge Training Academy at 443-249-3133. Or see us on the web at theedgetrainingacademy.com.
Running back set up in the back next to the fullback. Long snap, got hand off to that running back. He's got a little room to run. He's out across the, wow, he's gone. Down the 50, the 40, the 30, the 20, the 10, into the end zone. Ty Johnson with a 93-yard touchdown blast.
Mark Potter on the call, Friday Night Lights, Overtime Live, Wings FM, 94.3 at sfmsports.net. And yeah, Ty Johnson, a guy that's going to the University of Maryland. He is quite a running back. And head coach Brian Sofonowski of Kent Island joins us on the line. They fell to Fort Hill tonight by a score of 38-13. And coach Mark Potter said that that might be the fastest running back that you've seen in your coaching career.
I've never seen nothing like that in 14 years. We saw him on film and we saw how fast he was, but there's no way that you expected a kid that he puts jets on, and I've never seen nothing like it. That kid's unbelievably fast.
Well, Coach, so let's set the scene. You guys took on an unbelievable challenge in taking on the 1A power Fort Hill, and I know you and I are both on the same page with playing a good non-conference competition, and hopefully there'll be more of it to come for other teams around the Bayside as the years go on here. But what a team to take on. It certainly makes the program better. I know we've talked about that a lot, no matter win or lose. Let me ask you, you went up to Middletown, and I was at that game. Mark Potter and I called the game, the playoff game at Middletown outside of Frederick. That was quite an atmosphere, but by the sounds of it, Fort Hill was a notch up from that.
I don't know who you heard that from, but I don't know. I wasn't overly impressed. I mean, look, the people were friendly and polite, and they had us a great dinner at the end of the game, and were super welcoming, but I don't know. I didn't see any different. Look, Middletown was impressive. That's probably one of the best teams I've ever seen. Every one of their players, offensively, defensively, special teams were just locked down. Fort Hill was good. They're strong. They're powerful. And they got our two running backs that probably run like 4.3s, 4.4s. And in the first quarter, we had four blown plays, and they scored on three of the four. So I don't know. I don't know what to say about that, but I still think in my 14 years, Middletown's probably one of the best football teams I've played against. Fort Hill's very good, and they, rightfully so.
Coach, Fort Hill loaded the box against you early on. You tried to spread them out to be able to run the football, and I take it going in, you knew that, hey, they're going to put nine guys in a box. We're going to have to do something a little bit differently.
Not quite honestly. We probably get to spread them out in third of all against them. They do a fantastic job, and their secondary covers the ground so quickly. They string plays out really, really well. So we had to go back under center. And believe it or not, both of our scoring drives were, over almost 80 yards. And going no huddle. I think we put it to them, and they were gassed a little bit. It just took us 12 plays, 14 plays, four, and it took them two,
Right, and Coach, coming out of this game, I mean, there was no question that there was no quit out of these guys, that they kept fighting the whole way, and it's certainly something to really be proud about.
Look, absolutely. These guys, no matter what the score was, they kept fighting. Defensively, we really stepped it up and played well. It's just a couple missed tackles here and there. It cost us, and when you miss a tackle against a kid like that, it was just unbelievable. And offensively, we had the ball in the red zone. We didn't score. We had the ball on fourth and short, and we went offside. We had a couple instances where we could have put 21, almost 28 on, and we just didn't get it taken care of tonight. But look, these guys played their butts off tonight. I'm proud of them. And one thing we did not do is quit on each other. And just like I tell them about the wins, look, you win a game, you better forget it quick, and you better move on next game. And I'm going to tell them the same thing tonight. Tomorrow, we get ready for Easton, so be ready to go.
And Coach, I have to think part of the reason you play teams that like a Fort Hill is that when you play a team like that, you're probably not going to face as talented a team like that until you get to the playoffs. And so the task against some of the better teams of the Bayside doesn't quite seem that big after you've gone out and played a team like Fort Hill. Am I correct in that thinking?
Well, yeah. I mean, look, it's not taking anything away from any Bayside teams. It's just there's not – anybody really is going to have a stand that has 5,000 to 7,000 people in the stand.
Right.
There's not going to be an offensive line that's averaging 260 to 270 pounds across the front. You want to that's a better place.
Coach, you're breaking up on us. I know you're in Peaks and Valleys out Western Maryland there, so we're going to let you go, but we appreciate your time and safe travels back there. We appreciate it, okay? All right, great. Yeah, I appreciate it. We're kind of breaking up there, so I'm going to let Coach go there. But that, you know, that is the point. That is the point, as he said. Again, it's no disrespect. To play a team like Middletown in Frederick area and see that kind of atmosphere, that could get you ready, prepare you for the Fort Hill experience out there. That is quite an atmosphere out there. And he said it was no bigger than what Middletown was. By the way Mark described it, seemed like it was a little bit bigger. But either way, boy, they take their football very seriously. And you hope that one day you could draw 5,000-8,000 fans for a game at a really nice stadium. And there are some nice stadiums in the Bayside, but they do football. It's ingrained in their culture. And hopefully one day that'll get there. We'll see. All right, 10:47. We've got to start to wrap things up. We'll do. We'll stop down, come back, and run down the scoreboard one more time and give some final thoughts coming up.
Attention all contractors. Baltimore Door and Frame can fill your hollow metal and steel door needs. And Baltimore Door and Frame now carries all of your building supplies like insulation, treated lumber, steel studs, acoustic walls, and drywall. Leave the big box and depend on Baltimore Door and Frame. Baltimore Door and Frame now has locations on both shores, so call 1-800-68-DOORS. Support a local business that supports local sports. Baltimore Door and Frame. Call 1-800-68-DOORS. Doors.
The Preston Autoplex is uniting for a cure. Choose from acres of new Fords, Lincolns, Mazda, Nissan, Hyundais, and plus there's hundreds of pre-owned vehicles too. Get discounts and rebates totaling up to $12,000 or choose finance rates as low as 0% on over 2,000 vehicles in stock. Show your support during Breast Cancer Awareness Month at the Preston Autoplex.
Buy a vehicle and we will make a $50 donation to the American Cancer Society. Plus you'll get a pink frog.
Only at the Preston Autoplex or online at PrestonMotor.com.
Cars cost less in Preston.
All right, 10:48, wrapping things up here at 94.3 Winks FM and SFMSports.net. Coach Grafe is on the line with us from Queen Anne's as they fall in overtime to Kent County 21-15. And, Coach, we don't have a lot of time, and I know it's late, but wanted to get your take tonight. Certainly, it's not easy for any team to come into Centerville and beat a Queen Anne's team. You guys have built up quite a reputation there and quite a winning tradition at home like that. It was scoreless in the first half. What did Kent County do to your offense to shut you out like that?
Very aggressive. They were a lot better football team than what the record dictates, and I think they were a better team than what we had seen previously on film. But I give them all the credit. I mean, they played well, and they shut us down offensively, yes.
Coach, your defense played very well, and six of those points came on a pick six by Bradley Harmon, which it happens. It's surprising as good as Bradley is. But your defense, though, I've got to think you got to feel pretty happy about that.
Defense, I mean, Kent County's an explosive team. They got some real good athletes, and I thought Al Waters did a great job getting the defense ready and shut down the big plays. And I think he did a good job of doing that. I think the kids did a nice job on defense. It's just offensively, we were kind of sputtered.
Coach, let's go back to the offense for a second. On that pick six, can you describe what happened on that?
Well, Bradley had some heat. He had some heat on him, and it was one of the few times that Bradley tried to make something happen that maybe it wasn't there. You know, usually Bradley will take the sack or, you know, he'll try and advance the ball, pick up a few yards, mm-hmm. try and make something happen with his feet. But that was one of the few times that Bradley just tried to make something happen. I think it was a combination of us sputtering so much on offense that he felt like he needed to make a play. And, you know, they got guys playing on Sundays that make millions of dollars a year to do the same thing. And, you know, other than that, you know, Bradley doesn't usually make that mistake, but by no means that determine the game. There was a lot of plays besides that that determined the game.
Sure. Now, Coach, take me through that 4th-and-1 play. When did you guys call a timeout to think about what you wanted to call on 4th down, or was that just in the fourth?
Yeah, I mean, we went out there and I wanted to get a good look, see where the ball was. I don't even want to say it was a yard. It was probably about 6 inches, really. And, give King County credit. I mean, they stuffed us at the line of scrimmage, and, we didn't get in. So, you know, like I said, I mean, it's not that we played horrible. It's just that King County played that well. So, it hurts, but, you know, just got to get ready for next week.
Coach, let me ask you quickly about your offensive line. I know a lot of young guys there, and it seems like through the beginning of the year, obviously the wins are a great thing, and you guys are scoring a lot of points. You still pointed out, though, hey, we still have room for improvement. It may not like look at like that via the scoreboard, but we still have room for improvement. Where in a game like tonight, and just in general, where is that offensive line? Could they have played better tonight? Are they where you want them to be after 7 weeks?
Good question. I mean, as soon as we look at the videotape, I guarantee you that we'll find the mistakes that were made and we'll try to correct them. I mean, they can always play better. Even when you win by a big margin, you can always find things that you can improve upon.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to be, we told the kids, you know, Monday's going to be a day where we got to come in here and, you know, we have to put the past behind us and get ready for these next 3 weeks. They're all big games for us. And, you know, just have to have a good attitude about next week's practice and put this behind us as soon as we can.
Coach, as I mentioned from the outset about the amount of success that you have at home, is there a little bit more of a sting or maybe I should say a little bit more of a shock when you lose a game at home like that as compared to if that game was in Wharton at Kent County?
I mean, losing hurts no matter where it is. And, you know, it just I think when maybe some of the success we've had in the past, you know, you get in the game and all of a sudden it's you're not playing as well as you think you should be playing. The kids start to press a little bit. I think us as coaches start to press a little bit. And, you know, we're all trying to look for that solution. And sometimes maybe instead of just taking a step back and thinking things through, again, maybe everybody's trying to do a little bit too much. So, you know, it's football. It's high school football, and somebody's got to win, somebody's got to lose, and it was their time to take a loss. And the big thing is again, just to come back Monday and put that behind us, and everything we need is still in front of us. If we want to be a playoff team, we got the three teams in front of us that we need to beat. So it's still right there for the kids and the coaches, but, you know, we just have to come in Monday and be ready to go.
Two hungry teams going to do battle next week. Head coach Queen Anne's, North Carolina in Ridgely. That's going to be our game of the week, so we're looking forward to it as two teams coming off losses. And just some early thoughts on North Carolina, Coach?
Good football team. A lot of talented kids. A lot of explosive-type athletes that they have. I mean, it's kind of similar to what we saw tonight. They just have some good athletes. I know defensively they seem to be getting up a lot of points. But, you know, just look at the – a little bit I've watched of North Carolina on tape, and it's going to be a battle for us. And, you know, we'll go out there, and we're going to hopefully have the kids prepared, and we're going to do the best we can.
All right, Coach, we appreciate your time. Best of luck, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thank you.
All right, take care. That's Head Coach Donnie Grafe of the Queen Anne's County Lions at 10:54. All right, taking a look at your Brett Moy Therapy Associate scoreboard. Brett Moy Therapy, providing physical therapy and sports care. The AAMC building on Kent Island. It was Kent Island falling to Fort Hill, 38-13. Kent Island enduring their first loss of the year. They're now 6-1. Cambridge South Dorchester, they improved to 6-1. They dropped J.M. Bennett 49-20. Bennett dropping to 2-5. Colonel Richardson dropping to 1-6. They fell to Nandua of Virginia 46-26. In Easton, I should say. Take a look at the scoreboard here. I didn't write it down. Didn't write it down on my sheet, but it was a final 56-46. Easton defeating North Carolina, and it was Kent County in overtime over Queen Anne's by a score of 21-15. Yesterday, three Bayside South games. I still call it the South. Wicomico over Stephen Decatur, 40-12. How about Wicomico two straight against some quality teams? They're in the hunt for the 2A playoffs. Parkside, they get it done. They get out their frustration.
playoffs are done for them, but they're playing for pride now with a 500 record, 51-6 over Snow Hill. No surprise there. And Washington getting their third win of the year. How about the Jags? Good for them. 19-7 winners over Arcadia of Virginia. That's going to wrap things up. Coming to you live from the Edge Trading Academy studios. Preston Automotive Group and Best Western Plus, Easton Inn and Suites are presenting sponsors. We would not be able to do it without them. We thank them so very much. And, of course, the coaches as well. We couldn't do it without you. It wouldn't be quite the show that it is. Steve at SFMSports.net, where we stream worldwide, and you can listen on your smartphone or tablet through the TuneIn Radio app. You can do that, so make sure to check that out. I will have my Power Poll Sunday morning, also what we learned, and my picks all at OvertimeLive.net over the next couple of days, so make sure to check that out as well. Next week will be our Game of the Week, Queen Anne's in North Carolina, and I believe that will be a 7 o'clock start, pregame at 6:45. But take a look on Facebook or our website, and we'll let you know. That could be a 6:30 start. Aren't they usually 6:30 starts in Caroline County? I thought they were. So, We'll get that straight for you. I apologize. I don't have that. But that will be our Game of the Week, North Carolina hosting Queen Anne's. Two teams coming off of losses looking for wins. And we'll see who ends up the victor. Thanks so much. We'll return to regular programming, more of today's best music. But an exciting Week 7 in the Bayside Conference. And a lot of teams with playoff sights ahead. And we could be talking about a lot of Bayside teams in the playoffs. But still, Weeks 8, 9, and 10 to go can make a big difference. Thanks for tuning in. Overtime Live. We'll catch you next week on 94.3 Wings FM and SFMSports.net.
You've been listening to the best high school sports coverage on the shore with Overtime Live, presented by the Preston Automotive Group and Best Western Plus Easton Inn & Suites. And sponsored by Ben Franklin Crafts Easton, Roto-Rooter, U.S. Heating and Air, Barrett & Moy Therapy Associates, Queenstown Bank, The Edge Training Academy, Docks Riverside Grill, Sport Clips of Ken Island, El Jefe Mexican Restaurant and Tequila Bar, Paula's Fine Jewelry in Chester, Chesapeake Bay Orthopedics, an optical galleria with locations in Centerville and West Ocean City, and Doc's Downtown Grill. Thanks for listening to the OTL on your local sports leader, 94.3 Winx FM.